How are music therapists changing the lives of people in Canada?
What is the latest research and trends?
You are tuned into the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast,
and we will explore these questions with our guest today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adrian and Kathy. On today's show, we are speaking with Anna Plaskett about her journey to becoming a music therapist and her entrepreneurial pursuits as it relates to building HeartSparks Music Therapy and an exciting new collaboration with the Maritime Conservatory. Anna also shares her best advice to those just starting out in the profession of music therapy.
And here's a little more about Anna. Anna is the Music Therapy Department Head at the Maritime Conservatory of Performing Arts. She has over 18 years experience as a music therapy clinician, supervisor, presenter, and entrepreneur. Anna has a Bachelor of Music Performance from Michigan State University and a Certificate of Music Therapy from Acadia University and is a certified MTA. She has served as the Continuing Education Chair and Vice President for the Atlantic Association for Music Therapy. Anna performs original children's music and released her debut children's album, To the Moon and Back, in 2017. And she's also a proud mother to her six-year-old daughter, Elsie.
Welcome to the podcast, Anna. We're happy to have you from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So I want to know how you got started in the profession of music therapy.
After studying, doing the certificate program at Acadia University, I started out in 2004 doing some contract work in the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia after completing my internship with Paul Lauzon. I was lucky to receive a grant from the Canadian Music Therapy Trust Fund, Music Therapy Fund now, to start up a few pilot projects. And I found that doing these projects gave me the opportunity to just gain some experience fresh out of school and build a bit of confidence as a clinician. I was really grateful that for that support first thing on in my career. And then after a few years of in the Valley, I was missing my home in Halifax. So I moved, although I'm now from Dartmouth, but I moved back to the city and started from scratch, basically. And at that time, that would have been 2007. There was one job at the Veterans Hospital and a few jobs in the Shannex long-term care facilities, and all those jobs were already filled. Other than that, there weren't really any jobs that you could apply for. I got a waitressing job. Luckily, I had those skills in my pocket so that I could pay my rent and then began reaching out to some organizations and people in the community. And I had several names written on post-it notes just that, you know, people had given me over over time when they heard I was moving to the city and, you know, just saying, oh, you got to call so-and-so. They'd be great to connect with. And it was definitely outside my comfort zone to be making sort of these cold calls. But it was a really good opportunity to push myself into new territory. And, you know, of course, some of the calls didn't lead anywhere, but some did. And I started, meeting other professionals in the city and getting a few clients. And it took several years of seeing clients for an hour here or there. I think my first client was like deep into Dartmouth and I drove, you know, it took me probably 40 minutes to get there. And
sure.
And the session was 30 minutes, but you know, that's how you make connections, I guess, and get experience. So slowly and surely I was fortunate to develop a practice. After about 4 years, my client load had reached capacity. So when my first intern, Stephanie Jocelyn, finished, I hired her and decided to move from operating under my name, to create a business name, now that the practice was more than me. It took me forever to decide on a name, but eventually I chose HeartSparks, HeartSparks Music Therapy, to describe that feeling that you get when you're connecting with people through music, when your heart kind of tingles or lights up or sparks. So yeah, that's where the name HeartSparks came from.
Amazing. I love that. I love your journey, how you had your education and just persevered, despite the fact that, you moved back and there was no clients and, what am I going to do? And just called those people and went outside your comfort zone and those entrepreneurial skills, right? So you waitressed and combined your love of music therapy and just kept going with it. And I think that's really important for people to know, once you finish school, it's not necessarily all just waiting for you. It's that perseverance over those several years. I mean, what was that, 7 years? That journey until you got to that point where you said, okay, I'm going to name this and I'm going to bring on a team. And that's my next question. So, how did things change for you when you switched from working independently to having that team?
Well, I love those early years of having a team, and the energy that came with it. Kind of dreaming about what was possible for us. We got this little studio. It was like a shed in downtown Dartmouth. It didn't have a bathroom, but it was built. It was a recording studio before. And so it was like this little cabin in the middle of the city. And there's just this, amazing energy in there. And we just gained energy as a group. All of the therapists that I hired were had done their internship with me, so I spent a lot of time with them, and got to know them really well. We were gaining momentum, and I found that as we started to get more and more inquiries, mostly by word of mouth, and as my team kind of kept expanding, and once it expanded beyond about four people, that I found I started to feel a lot more vulnerable and nervous that something could go wrong. I knew that all of the therapists I had were, they were wonderful, great music therapists. I never doubted the quality of their work, but just naturally, the more people that become involved, the more little situations come up, because you have more clients to serve, and there's just more to juggle. So I started to feel that those extra responsibilities that came with growing the business were pulling me further away from my clinical work. Because I at that time I didn't have enough systems in place on the administrative side of things. And I think I was also worried that by growing more, that the business might lose what I felt was like its essence or its heart. For anyone who's read E-Myth, I know I was like the classic example of Sarah in that book. At that point, I knew that whether or not I wanted to learn more about business, that I had to start learning more about it in order to continue operating in a way that felt safe and sustainable. So I started working with a business coach who is a friend of a friend, and she helped me in exploring my vision for the business. How to, keep promoting a positive team culture as we grew and to create some system to keep us organized. For the first time, I started to get fired up about all that business and organizational side of things and identify with being a business owner in addition to being a music therapist. And yeah, I admit this was a bit of a challenging identity shift for me, I think because I had some preconceived ideas about business, some that may not have actually, been always true, but words that came to mind when I thought of business were things like competition and money. And that was uncomfortable for me. So I realize now that that was a limited view of what business means and have appreciated the opportunity to learn new ways of thinking about and doing business. Through the coaching, I got some great systems in place, and they helped me to feel a bit safer in the practice. That took me to about 2015, and I was in my mid to late 30s, so I was thinking about having a family, and I was lucky to get pregnant. I was grateful that I had kind of those systems in place. As I was kind of gearing up for taking some time off, my daughter Elsie arrived in 2016, and the business continued on, running smoothly without me. And that felt good. Like the systems were in place and they were working, and I'd learned to delegate. But I also admit it was a bit strange because before having my real human baby, I realized that I'd been treating the business as my baby. I know this probably sounds super familiar to you guys. So it took some letting go and trust to kind of let it plug on and grow while I was adjusting to motherhood. And so when I returned to work, of course, I had way less time and energy than before. So those feelings of overwhelm, you know, kind of returned just trying to keep up. And I found myself struggling between saying yes to new opportunities and growth, while at the same time trying not to get too overextended. I always want to show up for work in a wholehearted way, which for me includes paying attention and not bottling up those uncomfortable feelings. So I realized that even though I was feeling kind of short of time as a new parent, that I needed to continue, you know, on with more work on where I was going with the business and how it could fit with my new life as a mother. You know, the systems are great, but they only get you so far. And then in order to grow, you have to further adjust your systems. I guess that's true for all things in life. But so I signed up for a course this was in 2017, in heart-centered business development with someone called Mark Silver. He's got a practice called Heart of Business. And it was a really amazing course. I learned a lot along the way, but I think the biggest takeaway for me was that I came to realize that my business had really developed a whole heart and energy of its own, like outside of me. And that included our team and our growing client community. And I found that starting to view the business in this new way was kind of a relief because it helped me to separate my own ego from the business and start to see the business as its own being. I know it's like maybe a bit far out to think about your business having its own heartbeat, but I did name the business Heart Sparks, you know? I could feel like the energy and momentum was palpable. Like the parents of the children coming for groups, like they were becoming friends and they were forming their own communities and, you know, through coming to see us. And when we had that little studio space, we did groups and all of our therapists would come on a Saturday afternoon and, you know, there'd be five or six of us all singing in harmony together. And it was just like so much energy and just this magical feeling of all of our voices in harmony and being so attuned to the children that were in the groups. And so, yeah, it was like my business was alive and it was no longer a baby. And it was pushing me. And I learned this is very like parallel to motherhood, but, you know, pushing me as the owner of the business to kind of keep up with its growth and let it grow. I guess just a little reflection on it all. It's been such a learning curve and always a push and pull between continuing to grow, but also pulling back at times and just to breathe and allow margin for the unexpected and for life, like outside of career. I know this is probably a really familiar story to you guys and many music therapists, you know, who've had to find their own work on top of being in the profession that still requires so much advocacy to get funded.
We can relate, Anna. What I really appreciate is how honest and vulnerable you are being in sharing what this was really like for you and where the challenges or the pain points were that then really pushed you to look at growth and then find the resources and supports you needed to make the shifts along the way.
Yes.
And so we'd love to hear more about what you're up to now and about your new collaboration with the Maritime Conservatory.
Sure. Yeah. Well, as of, I think it's going to be as of November 1st, we will have completed the transfer of HeartSparks to the Maritime Conservatory of Performing Arts. They are a charitable organization who've been offering music and dance instruction for 135 years. That's crazy. Early in 2021, you know, when we were still kind of right in the thick of the pandemic, I found out that the conservatory's new dean of music, Sybilla Marquardt, was interested in adding music therapy to their program. And I went in to meet Sybilla mostly just with the intention to make a connection and develop a collegial relationship, since we were an established music therapy practice in the city. But after hearing her vision and seeing the space, I mean, I'd been in the building before, but seeing it after 20, being there probably actually 30 years since I've been there, the offer to join forces with the conservatory became kind of an unexpected new path forwards. As we had many meetings just to hammer out the fine details, there was a lot of back and forth that happened to make sure we were the expectations were clear on both sides, what we would need to do, and all those details that would go into how do you transfer a business into their organization. We decided that a gradual transfer of the clients and the therapists would be the most manageable and smooth process. People had been through so much change with the pandemic. I wanted to make it easy on everyone. Yeah, so I started there, I guess it would have been a year ago now, kind of just getting all the systems in place. And we needed to renovate a room there. And we also had to raise the funds to get the money to renovate the room. So there was, writing letters to donors and grant applications and things that had to happen. And now we have a beautiful room in the conservatory that's dedicated for music therapy. We just had plexiglass installed on the outside to try to make it a little bit more soundproof. And so it's exciting. It's been a very full year working on the back end of it all. And but now I have this whole new support system in place with the conservatory's management team. Yeah, I'm just so grateful, and I'm feeling a lot lighter about the future. You know, I don't think it's going to be any less work to run this program, but I'm feeling more supported. I'm hopeful the program's going to increase the accessibility of music therapy because they are a charitable organization. They're able to apply for grants and give charitable receipts for donations. So we've created a bursary fund, and we've been able to offer a few free group programs as well. So that's exciting for me. That accessibility piece is huge. Yeah, I guess I should also note that my full team from HeartSparks has come over to the conservatory. That was part of the deal, I guess, or the understanding. So although it's been some work to transfer, the systems and them to get adjusted, I'm hoping that in the long run, it's going to give them a greater sense of stability working for an established organization. Rather than a sole proprietor, especially an organization whose purpose is nurturing the creative and expressive arts. So, yeah.
Yeah. So your visions really mesh well. And I'm also thinking you mentioned the advocacy piece, just the awareness in the broader community of having music therapy embedded with the Maritime Conservatory program.
I think so. I think it's kind of a win-win for both of us, because bringing us in is increasing the diversity in the building and kind of I think it's going to open up people to be around so many. There's going to be just so many more people coming into the conservatory that wouldn't have before. But also for us, it's now people are learning about, they're hearing about music therapy when they bring their child to dance class, you know, right. They're seeing the sign. And so, and we've already started a collaborative, it's actually, I think it's happening right now. there's a dance teacher that we have a music therapy intern that's joining her for the dance class, and they're collaborating. So that's really exciting too. The just kind of that collaborative piece with music and movement. But I think so. Yeah, there's so much potential, and you know, we've been doing it slowly and kind of with caution because, of course, you need to make it a smooth process for your clients. But yeah, I'm feeling very, very grateful for this new opportunity. And I'm excited for what it's going to do for music therapy in Halifax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So many chances, like you said, for collaboration and for innovation. Anna, HeartSparks was a very large practice with serving a lot of people in the community. Does everyone come to the conservatory building for music therapy?
Oh, no, some people do, but we, most of our practice was kind of a mobile service. So, you know, traveling to people's homes or facilities. So we do have the dedicated space. So, we call them studio clients, and then either home or facility visit clients. So we've kept that whole aspect of the practice going.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So studio clients are coming in and music therapists are also going out into the wider community as well.
Yeah. So yeah. It's kind of, it'll increase the profile of the conservatory for sure, because before I think most of their work was inside the building. So, and it's a big old building, as you know, Adrian. Growing up, when we were growing up in Halifax, it was the Halifax City Schools Music Department. It's got a lot of history because it was the morgue after the Halifax explosion. And but I had my first violin lesson in that building. Mm-hmm. And so there's lots of musical memories, but the conservatory took it over, I think, in 97, maybe?
Or oh, wow. Okay.
96. So
been there quite a while.
So it's an old building. It's a beautiful building. There's a concert hall that has wonderful acoustics for live, just acoustic sound. Like I was able to sing in there last week without miking at all. So it's nice to have access to that space too, but they do have work to do on the physical accessibility of the building, they're working on it. So the automatic doors are being installed in the next couple of weeks.
And,
so it's kind of, I'm enjoying that part of it too, to go in and see, oh, how can we make this place more accessible physically? And the collaborations that are already happening, the Cecilia Concerts they have an office in that building. So I got connected with them to help with sensory friendly, or we're calling them sensory accessible concert series.
Wonderful.
So it's like all this cool new learning about how to make music more accessible. So,
well, and bringing your expertise and years of experience as what I call more of a music therapy consultant role. It's so important to be valued for what you can bring, right? For all that perspective, because of, you know, everything you've done so far to bring you to this point.
And it's like this, how do I describe it? Like, I think for so long you feel like an imposter and like that you're just learning and learning. And I mean, that's life, but it's been cool. Like coming into this new role, it's like the ideas are starting to crystallize almost. Mm. And I'm realizing, oh, I'm learning and I'm gaining a little bit, you know, more confidence.
Yeah.
Realizing that, that knowledge is something to bring.
So your story is a unique one that we haven't shared a story like this before on the podcast, with a transition from growing your private practice, your journey as an entrepreneur, and then collaborating in this way. And I hope other music therapists listening, I know, will be inspired and also comforted and like feel some familiar feelings. And then perhaps understanding that things can grow in different ways and that these kinds of collaborations are can really do amazing things to serve our clients in the community. We want to thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your story with our listeners. Thank you for joining us on the Canadian Music Therapy Podcast.
To learn more about resources from the show, please visit beyondthestudio.ca.
Thanks for listening.